Well, welcome to the Pastor's Thoughts. And as always, we close this little segment with prayer as we lift up intercession prayers for those who we know about that need a touch of prayer listed on our church prayer list. But this is a time that I think that we got to come together and to try to edify ourselves, to learn more about ourselves. And I was thinking, what a better way to learn about ourselves through somebody that God put in this world a long time ago. Yeah, Jesus, but that's not who I'm talking about. Although, if we model ourselves after Jesus, we do pretty good. But the one I'm thinking about is Solomon. Solomon has some very, very wonderful information to share with us about life, because he experienced it, and he experienced wealth, and he experienced having everything in this world, but he said it was all meaningless. So let's continue to look at chapter 5 in the book of Ecclesiastes, verses 18 through 20. Hear God's word, New Living Translation. Now this is Solomon talking. Even so, I have noticed one thing, at least, that is good. It is good for people to eat well, drink a good glass of wine, and enjoy their work, whatever they do under the sun, for however long God lets them live. And it is a good thing to receive wealth from God and the good health to enjoy it. To enjoy your work and accept your lot in life, that indeed is a gift from God. People who do this rarely look with sorrow on the past, for God has given them reasons for joy. Well, may God add his blessing to reading and hearing and the understanding of what Solomon was saying in chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. But if you look with contrast with what Ecclesiastes 5, verses 8 through 17, which we looked at previously, which illustrates the harm which wrong attitudes do to wealth and what wealth can cause. But today's passage sets us on a better way. Enjoy what lies near to hand. To be content with your lot is what he's saying. There's an obvious contrast between the frustrated, the lonely, the figure eating in darkness in verse 17 of chapter 5, and those verses 18 through 20 who find satisfaction in their toil and enjoy eating, drinking, presumably in the company of others, as one of the fruits of their toil, the blessings of relationships with one another. Of course, not all to do with the fact of we need to enjoy happiness, and we need to be happy. We want to be happy. And this is clear from the qualifications in verse 19 when God gives everyone wealth and the ability to enjoy them. In the next section, in chapter 6, which we'll start looking at next week, underscores that point. And then there's this issue of injustice. Now many are robbed of the fruits of their toil. There are people out there that like to steal, but they get jealous, you know. But positively, how does the situation described in the verses that I just read come about? Perhaps the answer lies in the three phrase in verse 18. Under the sun, the days of life God has given to you. Not necessarily a few days, but a lot of days. And that's translated in the NIV version of the Bible. This is their lot. And these phrases emphasize the condition of our human experience. And we should accept our limitations as created beings and not let our enjoyment of what God gives to us be spoiled by a desire for what lies beyond our grasp. Now, this is not a negative kind of existence. He said, be content with your lot. That don't mean be boring or be timid or unimaginative. You can live an interesting and creative and bold life without transgressing the the bounds that God has set. You know, we have all have areas. We have bounds that we need to keep in order to have a good life. You got to keep it on the road, you know? Well, wealth can be enjoyed as God's gift, and it only the love of wealth, which is wrong. You can find that over in 1 Timothy 6:10. He talked about the love of money. But in short, the passage today is not a recipe for life in the slow lane. I don't know any of us really want to be in the slow lane. We like to run this course of life pretty fast, don't we? But Solomon was telling us that if God enables you to enjoy life, be content with it. And then the next verse goes on to say, enjoying the good things of life can, by God's grace, prevent us from dwelling excessively on the darker aspects of life and its brevity, presence of injustice. Such enjoyment is not the final answer of these dark aspects, you know. It also brings with it certain dangers. For example, the pleasures like eating. Oh, Robbie there, he likes that eating. Drinking and enjoyable labor may become so central to our lives that if they're taken away from us, our faith collapses. Or, in the midst of our enjoyment, we may ignore the sufferings of others or gain that we may treat others unjustly in our desire to secure the things that bring us pleasure. But I love the buts. The buts and the ifs in Scripture are just very interesting. But in themselves, these things are good gifts of God, of which we can and we should give thanks. As a friend of mine once put it, if God's children cannot enjoy God's gifts, think about this, what he said. If God's children can't enjoy God's gifts, who can? Oh, count your blessings and count them one by one. I love that song, that little song, because you see, blessings of what God has done is for you, sending his son into the world for you and for me. So do you celebrate God's goodness in your life and then give thanks for it? I pray and hope that you do. So the study that we were looking at today in chapter 5, verses 18 through 20, is that we are to enjoy the good things of life by God's grace. God's grace prevents us from dwelling excessively on the darker side than the aspect of life. No, we always want to be looking at the bright side. Yeah, and this is fundamentally a good thing. So hope and pray you don't see potential problems here, because life is good and Jesus came so that we can have life and have it more abundantly. So now it comes down to this about contentment. So think about what we do. You know, in the 12-step program and some of the other programs when we're trying to figure out how to recover from this or that, you know, they suggest that you do a fearless and moral inventory yourself. Boy, is that hard. And you think about, well, what is your lot in life? Are you wealthy? Are you hovering near poverty? Are you a professional? Are you a blue-collar worker? Are you unemployed? Are you married? Are you single, parent, or childless? Solomon in Ecclesiastes knew that all people are not given equal situations. He also knew that it was pointless to worry ourselves over a lot that was given to somebody else and not to us. So we are to enjoy the good things of our lives and put ourselves wholeheartedly into the work we're given and do something positive with what we have been given. So at the end of our lives, we can look back and know, oh, we did our very best with what we had. God doesn't ask us any more than any other person. So ask yourself this question. Am I storing up regret or satisfaction? Well, Jesus said, I came so you can have life and have it more abundantly. What a wonderful blessing. But we do run into challenges, and we do suffer from things like addiction and some of the other things in this life. But you know, the Word of God has given us the answers to all things. And so we can make, yeah, we can go over on the dark side and stay over there if we want. But there's always that, even no matter how dark it gets in your life, there's a little tiny flicker of light that you see. And you say, oh, I don't like it over here. I want to get over there where that light is. And God will lead you to it. And, well, I don't know. It's just a wonderful thing to think about. We have a biblical mandate to encourage one another in the faith, and that's what we try to do. And I hope you're enjoying The Word is the Way to Life, because that really is the key to life, the Word. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Well, we do have people that we lift up on our prayer concerns, and you can find the ones that we have that we know about that we list on the website by clicking on the slides tab there by next to Pastor's Thoughts and Prayers. But you know that we do pray for one another. We want to pray for you. We also want to be able to let you know that you don't need a preacher. You don't need an 800 number. You can talk to God with your prayer requests yourself. Jesus gave us the access to the throne of grace. Oh yeah, we like to say, oh well, pray for me and da 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 da, and we don't want to do that. But we also know that we can pray and talk to God ourselves. That's the most wonderful thing. And so we close this little segment with the prayer that Jesus taught. A model prayer, if you would, for all of your prayers to line up with. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Pray you're having a good day, and remember, God loves you, and so do we.